This morning we will be returning again to our study of the Christian home, and we will be looking in Colossians 3:18, and we'll be looking particularly at the biblical commands of love and respect / submission, that husbands and wives are to love each other and respect each other. Both have to do both. Husbands have to love their wives and respect their wives. Wives have to love their husbands and respect their husbands. But the Bible teaches something interesting, which is that husbands especially are to love their wives. There's some reason for that, and we want to kind of explore that. Why is that? Why is the Bible especially impressed the importance of husbands loving their wives? And it also presses the idea that wives are to respect their husbands. Why does it do that? And so we'll need to consider that and what the Bible means when it says these things. And so Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, which says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your good word, that it's true. We can live our lives on it. We pray you'd open our hearts to it, to see more here of Jesus, more here of ourselves, and to see more in these words about how we're to live unto your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You have to remember why the Bible teaches these kinds of things. It's not just to make you do something, not just to make God happy, because we can never satisfy his justice. God isn't just trying to make you dance to his tune. That's not the point. Why does God give these kinds of instructions in the home and in the church? And the reason is because there's a great end of all things. What is this life about? What are you supposed to be doing? Well, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's what this is about. This world is basically a training ground. We are being formed through the means that God has given, and by living in Jesus one day after another, Lord's Day to Lord's Day, being formed into real human beings, which have been shattered and broken by the fall. We're being made back like we're supposed to be. And what are we supposed to be? Knowers of God, who know him and who commune with him and are filled with his life and therefore reflect his glory to others and summoning others to him as well. And God is bringing us back to himself. And so we don't want to lose the overarching story, which is that these instructions, which are very offensive in our day, are really about the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is the knowledge of God, the glory of God, because of all that Jesus has done to save us from our sins by dying on the cross and rising. There's another passage I'd like us to look at, though, as well. If you'll look with me at Ephesians, please, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 to 33. So here it says, familiar words, Jesus, or Paul is quoting the words of the Old Testament in Genesis, and says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." But then he closes the section by saying this, "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So here again, husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. So let's consider those two things. First, we need to look at a husband's love, and then we need to look at a wife's respect. So first, a husband's love. Second, a wife's respect. Now, I need to give a caveat. In this sermon, I'm talking about the audience, to the audience that Paul is addressing, that is Christians, the church. Do you know what the definition of a Christian is? You could say a lot of things, but this is probably the most important to realize. They're repenters. They admit sin because they believe in God. And they keep repenting of their sin because they believe in Jesus, who's died for their sins. And so this, what the Bible teaches about love and respect will be terribly abused by someone who doesn't admit sin and doesn't repent. Terribly abused. That doesn't make it less true as to what it's supposed to be like. Because it is supposed to be this way. And so the Bible is assuming you're a Christian and that there's two Christians in a marriage, and I mean really Christians. And then they're supposed to be love and respect that works right. Now, we are not talking about here the way things work in an abusive relationship. In an abusive relationship, one person depersonalizes, humiliates, and tyrannizes the other and makes himself the god of the other. And it can be a man. The man is the one who's usually exposed in our day because it's popular, but it's equally the woman, actually. If you look at the studies, there's half and half. Men and women can both abuse in different ways. It's shameful for men to come out about it, and so they don't. They stay quiet when they're abused by their wives. But it can happen both ways. And the Bible gives an answer to that. What's the answer to abuse? It has to be exposed, dealt with, and authorities have to deal with it. And there has to be truth that's told. Abuse is completely unacceptable, and it is not. A Christian is not an abuser. A Christian cannot be a tyrant, an abusive person, because he's a repentant person. He's someone who trusts the Lord and who loves God and therefore loves others. And so with that caveat, and considering that we're speaking to Christian marriages, let's first consider what it means for a husband to love his wife. Well, sometimes in defining something, it helps to begin with what it doesn't mean. So what does it not mean for a husband to love his wife? It doesn't mean that he indulges her sins or unbiblical thinking. Loving her does not mean that he does everything that she wants or that he agrees with her about everything. Instead, I would submit that a husband loving his wife means three things. First, that he really wants her there. He wants her to exist. He wants her being. Second, he wants her well-being. He doesn't just want her to exist. He wants her to exist in the best possible way, to have fullness of life. And third, he wants to be her intimate friend. So let's take each of these. First, a husband who loves his wife wants her to be there. You know, a husband who doesn't care whether his wife exists or not doesn't love her. A husband who thinks, well, I could swap out my wife for a different wife, it'd probably be okay, but I'll take the one I got. He does not love his wife. A husband who loves his wife wants her personally. He thinks about how God made her. She's made in the image of God. Think of all the amazing blessing qualities that are in her, that are from the Lord. He thinks about that, and he delights in the good graces that are in his wife. He forgives the ones that are sinful. He forgives her sinful qualities. He thinks about her beauties, and he wants her to exist just the way God made her and doesn't want her to be someone different than who she is. So that's first, a husband who loves his wife wants her being. Second, a husband who loves his wife wants her well-being. He wants her the very best for her in this world and in the next. He wants her to have fullness of life here, and he wants her and thinks about her for having fullness of life in Jesus. A loving husband seeks his wife's happiness by serving her, lightening her load where he can. He speaks loving words to her. And he does this on purpose. He thinks about it. I mean, he does it truthfully, not manipulatively. And I'll tell you these things so I can get what I want, but truthfully. And graciously reminds her of the promises of the gospel. That's a husband who loves his wife. He feels tenderly toward her. So it's not all just a mechanical outward show or something that he knows he's got to do his duty. There's an inward feeling of tenderness toward her. What he says and does toward his wife has a tincture or a color of love and grace that comes from a man who himself has been conquered by grace. He tries to encourage his wife by listening to her fears. And he tries to comfort her with love and reminds her of biblical truth. So a husband listens to his wife, hears the things she's afraid of, listens to her emotions, and doesn't say, well, here's a better way to do it. Let me fix this problem for you. Even if he thinks he can fix a problem, that's not what he does at that point. What she needs to hear is, Christ is with us. I love you. I'm right here. How can I help? That's what she needs to hear. And a loving husband learns that and does that. He seeks his wife's happiness by keeping the Ten Commandments toward her under the gospel, giving her her due. He tells her the truth. He doesn't murder her with his words. He promotes life with his words. He's loyal to her and doesn't commit adultery. He doesn't covet a different wife, but is satisfied, meaning filled up with the wife that God has given him. He encourages her toward the Lord and keeps the whole of God's law toward her and repents when he doesn't. And that's the thing, is no man does all these things perfectly. But a man of God, a man of grace, can confess when he doesn't because he's covered in the blood of Jesus. He's got nothing to prove, nothing to hide because it's all... He deserves to go to hell anyway. But Jesus died for him. So when he sins, he can say it. I sinned. I need Jesus' help, and I want to grow, and I repent. And that's what a man of grace does. He also sympathizes with her. You know, Christ sympathizes with our weaknesses, and he tries to understand how she feels and why she feels the way she does. The Bible says a husband lives with his wife in an understanding way. That means he has to study her. And if he can't figure out why she's feeling the way she does, he listens anyway. But most of all, a husband loves his wife by sacrificing for her from the heart. He gives himself completely to her in love, and he genuinely cares for her. He takes up his cross daily and denies his own lordship. I am not God. I'm not a God. I'm not a little God. I'm not a partial God. I'm not the supreme authority over you. I deny my own lordship, and he girds himself up like a servant, and he delights in serving her the way Jesus got down on his knees and washed the dirty feet of his disciples. And he did it because he wanted to and enjoy. And if a husband doesn't sincerely love his wife, she will know it. And I submit that a husband should make it his highest goal on earth to kindle love for his wife from the heart. Why do I say that? Christ's highest goal in this world is, of course, the glory of God, but by what means? The love for and the rescue of his bride. And so he's to grow in a sincere desire for her good and delight in her personally. So the second way a husband loves his wife is by seeking her well-being. So he's saying he seeks her, he wants her to be, and he wants her well-being. Third, a husband loves his wife by being her intimate companion. He builds and seeks and wants a mutual relationship of love. He admits his sins freely. He asks for forgiveness. He works to change. He receives her love, and he willingly gives his love to her. A husband works to build the closest possible friendship where they care for one another. This kind of romantic relationship is not based on a feeling. It is not like anything you will ever see in the movies or hear on the radio, because that's all emotional. This is a bound and determined commitment to intimate love. When the feelings are gone, to rekindling them. When the feelings are gone, to still love and to deepening them beyond those surface level romantic feelings, which are useful at the beginning, and yet in a marriage, they transform into something more like a deep comfort and sincere appreciation and great value for and delight in the other person. And so the three ways a husband loves his wife is, first, he desires her being. Second, he desires her well-being. And third, he works to build an intimate companionship. So why should a husband love his wife? We've seen what love is. Why should he do it? Like, why? What's the point? I want to give a few reasons. First of all, God commands it. Husbands, you have no choice in this. If God is your God, you have to bend the knee and love your wife and really do it because Christ loved you first. Second, you promised your wife to love her in your marriage vows. You've made an oath and you're bound. But consider this too. A wife deeply needs the love of her husband. She's made that way. She needs him to love her. Think about this. From the time they're little girls, women want close friends, don't they? They want to be loved, and they want to love. God made girls for relationships, and they all know it intuitively. If a young girl's friend betrays her, it can feel like the end of the whole world. She feels almost like relationship and friendship are survival. And often, little girls are thinking toward and looking forward to being married one day. They dream about their weddings, and they dream about their marriages. On the other hand, men are instinctively looking for a woman to love and to be loved by. And so what attracts a man to a woman is her loveliness, her kindness, her care, her inward and outward beauty and personal attractiveness. When a woman shows herself to be a friend, someone who is loving, that is what attracts a man's love. Men love kind women. He may settle for an unkind woman, but he won't love her for it. A husband's love is needed by his wife. He must love his wife more than any other woman in the world. And she knows it, and she feels it, and he knows it. And so how can a husband grow in his love for his wife? You say, okay, Brother Tom, I basically agree with you. What do I do if my love has waxed cold? Well, a husband learns to love by putting away his legal temper or spirit. He's a legalist. If you don't love your wife, it's because you are living as though you're under the law. And you need to put on a gospel temper. A husband with a legal temper says this: I'll love you if you prove yourself lovely. I'll love you if you love me first. You see the trade mentality? I'll love you if you respect me the way I want to be respected. I'll love you when you measure up to my standard. This legal spirit is what leads to bitterness and scorn. A legal temper goes around offended by his wife with a low-level anger and creeping bitterness that even breaks out in actual outbursts of anger. But a man with a gospel spirit puts away his bitterness toward his wife by remembering his own great sins. Yes, my wife has sinned, he says. But my sins mean I deserve to go to hell forever. I deserve nothing but judgment from God. And then he remembers what his sins did to Jesus. His sins put Christ on the cross, nailed him up there, bludgeoned and bloodied, the Lord of glory. And he remembers the blood that Christ shed for his sins. And he thinks about how much Christ loves him, even in his own sin. And a gospel husband then, knowing how much he's been forgiven, forgives his wife. And he remembers the love of Christ for him. And he loves her as Christ loves him. A gospel temper, a gospel tincture, is gracious, humble, truthful, patient, loving, repenting, pursuing. Only a man conquered by grace can love like this. And it's the best way to love. It's the best way to live. And so there we've seen something of what it means for husbands to love their wives. But second, consider what it means for wives to respect their husbands. Now, a wife's respect for her husband doesn't mean she always agrees with him. Some husbands say foolish things like that, you know, respect me, don't disagree with me. Well, no, that's not respect. It doesn't mean that a wife becomes her husband's slave. It doesn't mean that she should respect him for things that are not respectable. So what does it mean? Well, interestingly enough, in the Greek, the word respect means fear, but not in that way. It means fear. Phobos, from which we get our words about phobia. Let the wife see to it that she fears her husband. Well, there's two kinds of fear. One is the fear of destruction by a tyrant. The other is reverence for God. Those are the two kinds of fear. And God gave you your husband in his providence, ladies. And so to respect your husband is to fear God, to honor God, to have a reverence for the God who is good and who put your husband into your life. Wives are to respect their husbands, meaning to revere them as leaders. Respect is connected to honor. To show honor means to regard with weight and importance. Now, wives are to love their husbands, and husbands are to respect and honor their wives. It goes both ways. But a wife deeply needs the love of her husband, and a husband deeply needs the respect or reverence of his wife. And I submit that respect involves three things. So what is respect? So first, a wife respects her husband whenever she sees his commitment to be strong in things that are good and able to protect and provide for her. A wife respects her husband when she sees his commitment to be strong in things that are good and able to provide and protect her. And she respects him by honoring him for his character traits like self-control and boldness and hard work and commitment to the truth and a determination to grow and develop skills that promote life. And so the first way that a wife respects her husband is to acknowledge places where he has good character and to honor him for it with words and actions. And listen, every Christian man has elements of such good character. Non-Christian men may not, but Christian men do. And if you're married to a Christian man, you can respect him for those traits. Second, a wife respects her husband when she sees and honors his practical abilities to protect and provide for the family. So she sees him working hard to protect and provide for the family, and she looks for the ways that he works hard, the skills that he's developed, and she honors him for it with her words. And she says things like, "Thank you for working hard for us. Thank you for what you do and the way that you sacrifice. I see the things that you're doing and that you're doing them well in this way and in that way. And I honor you for that." She needs to speak in that way to him, give him praise and encouragement for the things that he does well. So secondly, a wife respects her husband when she sees and honors his practical abilities. Third, if a wife respects her husband, she'll submit to his leadership in the home. These are connected. Respect and submission are connected. How? Well, she sees his strength and areas of competence in general. He's providing, he's working hard, his overall commitment for good. And so she trusts him and submits to him. A submissive wife will submit to her husband, even if she's not sure he's right about this or that, because she knows he loves her. And that's the tenor of his life. He does love her. He cares for her. He wants to take care of her. He's seeking the good of the home. And even if he's wrong about this or that, overall, I know the man. And I respect him, and I'm submitting to him. And so she chooses to submit to him for that. Now, what if the man isn't perfectly competent? Well, no man is perfectly competent, just as no woman is perfectly lovely. But just as husbands are to love their wives, so wives are commanded to respect their husbands. And if you're married, this is the man that God requires you to respect. He has God's image. So there's something honorable in him that you must recognize. But why is it important for a wife to respect and honor her husband? Why do this? Well, obviously God has commanded it. But also, her marriage vows include or should have included something about respect and honor. That's kind of going away today. It was in all the old marriage vows, but it should be what a wife vows to her husband. Husbands, however, there's something more than just that God commands it and that it's what you promised in your marriage vows. It's that just as wives need to be loved, husbands need respect. And I want to try to explain it because I think it's something that's been lost today. From childhood, boys grow up knowing they have to refine a particular skill to be useful in this world. This is deeply hardwired into a boy and a man's nature. It's why men compete so intensely against one another in tasks. Men have to differentiate themselves from one another to prove their worth to men and to women. Another way of putting this is that men are not wanted in the world because they're beautiful or attractive or kind. Men are wanted in the world because they're useful and dependable and can do things. And men know this deep inside. And so young men often develop skills traditionally by playing in sports. They learn how to hunt. They learn how to do things. They have to get very good at something so they can carve out lives for themselves and for their families in this world. And they will kill themselves, actually, trying to do this very often. And as they get older, they immerse themselves into becoming masters at whatever they have to do to survive in this world. And if we look at it from the woman's perspective, ladies, aren't you instinctively looking for a husband who's respectable? And she's a hard sell, actually. Women are a hard sell. Most women are not easily convinced of a man's character and competence. And that's by design. He does have to win her respect. And she instinctively knows that she needs him to have a strong character and competence if she's going to marry him. This is why a woman does not ever serve a man by marrying him if she loves him but doesn't respect him. And some women will do this. They'll have pity on a man. They'll think they can help him. They'll look at him with mercy, and they'll marry him, but they don't respect him. Ladies, never marry a man you don't respect. But if you're married to a man, he needs your respect. When a wife disrespects her husband, this is what he hears. You are incompetent in life and worthless as a man, which means you are worthless as a human being, because being a man is the only way you are a human being. A man who is constantly dishonored and disrespected by his wife may even despair of life itself. And by God's design, a man's wife has the power to completely destroy her husband by dishonoring and humiliating him as though he's an incompetent child. He will lose motivation and strength and become weaker and weaker, and a wicked man will just crush his wife who treats him like that and then lie to himself that he's great because he just crushed his wife. Of course, he'll probably crush her anyway because he's wicked. But a man who really loves his wife will be completely crushed by a disrespectful wife. Wives, the proverb says that a woman can tear her house down with her own hands. Wives, your husbands need you to respect them. This is what the scripture commands. And you're probably naturally good at loving, but you must respect him. So what am I talking about? Well, you have to distinguish between words of love and words and actions of respect. So words of love sound like this. Wives, you're loving your husbands when you say, I love you. You matter to me. I would choose you again. You're precious to me. You're an amazing person. Those are loving words. Husbands need to hear those words. That's important. But what a husband really needs to hear is something like this. I'm proud of what you accomplished. You did that well. You're really good at that. What you just did benefits our family and others. So loving words versus loving actions. Husbands, if you talk to your husbands that way, and you praise him and encourage him and honor him and give him respect for the things that he does well, you can be and will be wind in his sails. And it will strengthen him greatly. But consider the difference between loving actions and loving and respectful actions. So how does a wife act in order to respect her husband? Well, a loving action, so this is a loving action, might be fixing him dinner. Well, husband appreciates that very much, but it's not a respect action, it's a love one. That's love. Washing his clothes, that's love. Giving him a kiss, that's love. But respectful actions include things like this. And ladies, this is what your husbands need. Listening carefully when he speaks. You treat his words as though they're weighty, and you don't just dismiss them out of hand or immediately begin to argue, but instead to listen. Not quickly countering his thoughts like they're foolish, but listening carefully and considering ways in which they may be correct. Maybe you're the one who's wrong. Weight his words, willingly and humbly submitting to his requests when it comes to the management of the home. And when she has to confront sin in her husband, because a husband, respecting a husband doesn't mean never confronting him. But there's a way to do that, isn't there? Not condemning him as a judge or demeaning him as a human, but confronting him as a fellow sinner who also needs Jesus and graciously asking questions, making appeals in love with a submissive attitude instead of an angry, self-righteous one. And so, wives, will you treat your husbands with respect and speak words of respect and do actions of respect to your husband? This will honor him. It honors God, and it strengthens him greatly. And so how can a wife grow in respect for her husband? Well, the same way a husband grows in love. A wife grows in respect for her husband by putting away her legal temper and putting on a gospel temper. A wife with a legal temper says, "I'll respect you if you prove yourself worthy of respect. I'll respect you after I decide that you know more than I do, but we both know that I know more anyway. I'll respect you when you do as much or more work than I do. I'm not respecting you anymore, given how you failed in the past, and I'm not listening to you about parenting because you don't know how to care for the children like I do." That's a legal temper. It's self-righteous, and what does it lead to? Bitterness and scorn, a sense of derision and condescension. But a wife with a gospel spirit puts away her disrespectful attitude by remembering her own sins. She deserves to go to hell for her sins. She doesn't deserve anything. Christ died for her sins, and she remembers that her sins are her biggest problem, not his. And she thinks about how much Jesus loves her and his blood that was shed for her. And a gospel wife will forgive her husband's sins and failings. And she also remembers that this Jesus, who bought her with a price to reconcile her to God, is the Christ who ordained this man to be her husband and commands her to respect him. And so she does so willingly, because Jesus can never command something of us. He cannot command something of us that is not for our good, because he's proven his love for us on the cross. And so a gospel temper is gracious, humble, truthful, patient, loving, and submissive. And this is the way a gospel wife treats her husband. Consider our Lord Jesus, who both loved and submitted. First, he was a perfect loving leader. He led the disciples. He was truthful with them when he had doubts and fears and unbelief, but he never abandoned them. He cared for them, and he died for them, and he loved them patiently. He was a perfect, loving leader in your place and as your example. This is our Jesus, who loved all the way to the cross. Second, he submitted too, didn't he? Jesus submitted to sinful parents. Do you remember? His parents weren't paying attention and left him in Jerusalem, assuming him to be with the rest of his family. And then they came back and they got on to him about what they did wrong, and Jesus still submitted to them. Jesus submitted to the civil government when he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. And ultimately, the Lord Jesus submitted to his Father. And he said at the cross, he said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But if not, not my will, but yours be done. And then he drank the cup of the Father, of the wrath of God, submitting in faith, knowing that God loves him. And so there we see that the Bible teaches that husbands are to love their wives. Now, wives are to love their husbands. Everything we just said about the way a husband loves his wife could be transferred to the woman, should love her husband the same. And then when it comes to a wife respecting her husband, actually, husbands should honor and respect their wives and recognize the good that they do and praise them for the ways in which they work hard and encourage them in similar ways and give them honor as joint heirs of the grace of life. And yet we see still that there's a particular way that husbands are to love their wives and that wives need the love of their husbands and that wives are to respect their husbands and that husbands need the respect of their wives. And these things are interlocking. When one doesn't give to the other respect and love, they become harder and harder, and you're tempting the other one not to love. And the only way out of that is the cross. Is to remember Jesus, who loved us better, who died and who rose for us. And so may the Lord give us gospel homes who live upon Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for marriage. We thank you, Lord, for our husbands. We thank you for our wives that you've given. Help us to live in love and respect one for another and to bring you glory in our marriages, to raise children, if you've granted them, unto the Lord in the fear and admonition of Jesus, and to bring you glory as we all become more and more conformed to the likeness of Jesus for our joy and for your great name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.